be somebody like to have a look at the Bible for themselves. Never read its pages. Offer a copy of, well, an extract from the Bible offered to you free of charge without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. But it is God's Word, and who knows, but maybe you'll get a surprise or two. Maybe you'll discover that it's not what you first thought. It's not about, instituted religion and just rules and regulations. It's about God's grace that is presented to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, it's here that you can read. What you say? So, they say it's not the Jesus that the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you about, or the Jesus that the Mormons will tell you about. It's not the Jesus that Islam will tell you about, but the one revealed in the Bible, a lovely, lovely person of the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, who came into the world to save and to rescue sinners, to rescue you from your greatest danger, the one that lurks within in your own heart, your greatest enemy, your own personal involvement in sin. So, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, you come and ask us for one. Gladly and freely give one to you. In the Bible, Jesus, He speaks these words. Listen up to the Word of God. And He, Jesus, said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." You see, friends, it's not what a person puts on themselves. It's not what a person puts inside themselves. You know, that makes them either acceptable or unacceptable to God. It's the heart, you see. The heart is the heart of the matter. And, well, I guess, that's why most people, reject the Bible, reject the message of the gospel for that very reason, because it demands a change of heart leading to a change of life. Much easier, of course, to become religious. Anybody can do that. You don't need God's help to do that, to become religious. Just go to the temple, just go to the synagogue, just go to the mosque. They'll make you religious, change your clothes maybe, change some of your doings maybe, change the externals, change the people you mix with, make you respectable, make yourself righteous maybe, but it won't change your heart, won't change the inside. And of course, like you say, that's why, many people, they reject the gospel, the good news of the gospel, because it demands, you see, this change of heart that only God can bring about. You can't. That only God can change the desires of a man or a woman's heart. But of course, that's the demand. God demands your heart. He demands He demands everything. Some people may tell you, you know, that salvation of the gospel, that it won't cost you nothing. I tell you, friends, it will cost you everything. All that you have and all that you are. You see, the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. Testify to you, I know no other God save Jesus Christ. There is no other. There is no other. He alone is God and Lord. And it's to Him that you must bow the knee. It's to Him that you must submit yourself, heart and life, totality of your being. Nothing less is acceptable. You know, nothing else will bring God's salvation. Total surrender is what Jesus calls for. But then, of course, people, you know, they want other people to change. They want the government to change. They want Mrs. May to change. You know, they want the politicians to change. They want the police to change. They want society to change. They want everybody to change for the better. You all want people to stop lying to you, stealing from you. You want everybody to stop the violence. You want everybody to change, but not you. Everybody but you. You know? But the gospel begins with you. Gospel begins with your heart being changed, you see, being transformed by the mighty power of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, friends, you know, like Jesus says, not what you put into yourself, it's not what you eat. Some religious people, you know, they won't eat bacon butties, you know, because, well, they think, you know, they think that make them unclean. They think that make them unacceptable to God. But hey, friends, it's not bacon butties that make you unclean. Listen up to what Jesus says. He says, what comes out of a person, that's what defiles him. Out of the heart, you see, out of the mouth speaks, you see, what's in your heart, you see. And your thoughts, you see, they turn to actions. People say, you know, where's all the bad stuff come from? You know, the violence and killing. You know, where's it all come from? Well, God didn't make it. He's not responsible for it. Man is. And of course, well, it doesn't come up out the ground. Doesn't come on the wind. So where does it come from? Comes out of the heart, Jesus says. Yours and mine. Heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. Desperately wicked. You think yourself, you good person. A number of people I meet, you know. Hey, the world's full of good people, don't you know? Every other person, yeah, it is me, yeah. Yeah, you would think anyway. They keep telling me that they're good people. I'm not a good person, you know. And what can God have against me, you know? I say, you're going to heaven? And they tell me, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I say, well, on what basis? On what basis you're going to heaven? You know, you ever read the obituary columns? You know? And you see the letters R.I.P., you know, rest in peace. You know? And your pop stars, your celebrities, you know? All year long they've been cocking their toes up, they've been dying, just like everybody else. Money doesn't save them. The celebrity status doesn't save them. They die just the same as you. You might be a king, you might be a road sweeper, but you're all going to face the grim reaper. Every single one of you. Point, if a man wants to die, unescapable. But here's the thing, friends, you know that you know, you see you're gonna go to heaven, and your loved ones rest in peace, you see, in the obituary column, you know. Oh, they're in heaven. All these celebrities are in heaven. Eh? According to you guys, that is anyway. But that's not the case, is it really? Because they're not good people. And neither are you and neither am I. We're all bad people. Very bad. It's not that I'm any better than you. I'm not standing here preaching to you with the notion, with the idea that I'm a better person than you. Some of you might be better people than me. I'm just better off than you. I got a Savior. And that's why I'm here, to tell you where you can find the Savior. Or you can be better off. Or you can get right with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, friends. Ain't none of us good. Ain't none of us good. Out of your hearts come all this stuff. You see, where's all this murder come from? Out of the human heart, that's where it comes from. You see, where's all this sexual immorality come from? All this thieving, all this adultery, all this coveting and wickedness. Where's it all come from? Out of your heart and out of my heart. And that's what makes you unclean. It's what's in your heart makes you unacceptable to God. It's what's in your heart, you see, that separates between you and God. You see, it's because of your iniquities, God says, that you're separated from God, your rebellion. You see, in your heart, your own heart, the heart's got to be changed, you see. That defilement's got to be removed. So where do you go? Who do you go to? I mean, go to any one of your religions. I go to the mosque. Say, tell me, how do I get a new heart? They laugh you out the place. They know nothing of that. Go to the synagogue. Ask them. Tell them, hey, I want a new heart. I want you to take all this bad stuff out of my heart. All this uncleanness that separates me from God. They laugh you out the place. They do all kinds of things for you, but hey, they won't tell you how to get a new heart. It's a new heart that you need, friends. That's why Jesus says a man must be born again to even to begin to understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. You must be born again. Why? Oh, because your heart state, your heart condition. Your natural state in which you were born, in which you were conceived in your mother's womb, in sin, in rebellion. That's how you're born into this world, every one of us. You and me both. Unless there's been a time that you can point to, that you can identify, or you can testify, and you can say, on that particular day, at that particular time, God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, changed my heart and made it new. And now my desires are for what I never desired before. You know? As you can say, now I love what I once hated, and now I hate what I once loved. Because here's the thing, friends, you see, in that heart full of defilement, amongst all these other things that Jesus speaks about here, there's a hatred, there's a burning hostility and hatred for God. You would tear Him from the throne if you could. You would nail Him to the cross again if you could. Of course you can't. But here's the thing, every time you reject the gospel, every time you reject the Son of God, you crucify Him again. You crucify Him over again. And friends, that defilement, that uncleanness, you see, only God can remove it. Because here you are, a God-hating person. Oh, you may not be conscious of it, but that's what you are. You're one of two things, friend. You're either a natural-born God-hater, or you're a supernaturally reborn God-lover. Because nobody ever loved God until He changed their hearts and removed the defilement and removed the hatred for God and the hatred for your fellow man. Here's the thing, friends. Jesus says the sum of God's law, His commandments, is this: to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor. Do you know why all these things go on? Yeah, because it's in the heart. But bottom line, because you hate God, you hate your neighbor. And that's why you do the adultery. Adultery, you see, when you steal somebody else's wife or husband, you're expressing a hatred for your neighbor. when you thief, you know, when you thief from your neighbor, you're expressing a hatred for your neighbor. But it goes deeper than that, friends. Oh, it goes deeper than that. You're expressing a hatred for God. Because your neighbor whom you express hatred for is made in the image of God, and you're expressing a venomous hatred for God. Oh, you can't get at God. You can't get your hands on Him. You can't tear Him out of heaven. You'd like to. You can't. So you do the next best thing. You go for your neighbor made in the image of God, and you seek His destruction. Thieving His property, stealing His wife or stealing her husband, you know, doing the uncleanness, spreading sexually transmitted disease throughout the rest of humanity, the poison of sin you spread over your world, you infect your children, your families with it, you defile them. As well as yourself. So you see, friends, it's the heart, you see. It's the heart, friends. It's the poison inside of you. It's heart surgery that you need. Not a plaster. You know, no good. No, you can go to the chemist and you buy as many plasters as you want. Stick on yourself. But that won't release the poison out of your heart. You go to the synagogue, they'll give you a plaster to put on. You go to the mosque, you go to the Catholic Church, you go to the priest, you go to the Pope, they give you a plaster to put on, but plasters don't cut it, friends. Your heart needs to be cut open. Heart surgery. It's a new heart that you need that only God can give you. Only God can give you. Open up the heart and let the pus of sin out. You know? God uses His scalpel in the same way that the surgeon does. He makes an incision in order to bring healing. But God must cut your heart first. You must come to this realization that your heart is utterly vile. Utterly vile, full of the pus of sin. Deceitful and above, desperately wicked above all things, says God. You see, you look at yourself in the mirror every morning. I had a pretty dress, a nice suit, you know, the nice hairdo, haircut, you know, and the makeup and all the bangles and beads, you know. What a cool person you are, eh? Tells you the same damned lie every single morning. You're the fairest of them all. But hey, friends, look into the mirror of God's Word. And you get the truth, you get the real you. Because the mirror of God's Word, you see, penetrates the outward image. Looks into the heart and reveals what's inside of you. All this stuff that Jesus talks about here. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So the question is then, how do we get rid of it? How do we get the heart made clean? How do we get the heart made new? How do we get our hearts that are acceptable to God, that don't hate God but love God? How do we get a heart that desires God? How do we get a heart that desires wholesomeness and purity? How do we get a heart that desires true repentance of such things? Well, that's where the gospel comes in, friends. And that's why God sent His Son Jesus into the world, you know? That you might know the grace and peace of God through Jesus Christ, who gave His life for our sins and to deliver us from this present evil age. Only Jesus can do it. Only the Son of God. Only God the Son. Only the appointed Savior. There is no other God. Only one Son. And He gave Him up to the death of the cross. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Don't ever be saying that God never did nothing for you. He gives you air to breathe. He gives you food on your table. He gives you clothes in your back. He gives you prosperity and wealth. He gives you health and strength. He gives you all these things. He can take them all away overnight if He so wishes. He gave you His very best. He gave you His Son. Sent Him into the world to be crucified, nailed to a cross that you might be saved from the damnation of hell, because that's the end of your heart condition. If it's not changed, if it's not made new, if it's not cleansed. So how do you get it clean? That's the thing. Well, the hymn writer, he asked that question. He said, "What will wash away my stain?" And he answers the question himself. He says, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again?" he cries. "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You see, friends, God's Son came into the world for that reason, that purpose. To die on a cross, a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. Not dying for sins He had done. Not dying because He had done wrong. Not dying because He had a bad heart. He was the only man that ever walked the face of this planet that had a good heart. And what do we do? What do we do to Him? We nailed Him to a cross. We vilified Him. We crucified Him. And again, you do that every time you reject the gospel. Every single time you say no to Jesus. You crucify the Son of God all over again. And God will hold you to account for that, friends. Oh yes, He will. This is a generation that thinks it can sin with impunity. It's a generation that thinks it's answerable, accountable to no one. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. Because you are accountable, and Jesus says, you will give account on that day for every careless word that you speak. So you done be careful what you say, friends. Today, you be awful careful, because you give account for it. But Jesus came, you see, and He died on that Roman cross, poured out His blood. It pleased His Father to crush Him. Like a grape, His Father took Him and crushed Him on that cross until every single drop of His blood was poured out. A sacrifice for sin. An atoning death that you might be washed and made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Again, I ask you, your religion got a cross there? You got blood atonement there? Islam, I ask you, where's your forgiveness? A cavalier, Allah, who you say is merciful and forgives, how can He forgive your sins? God is the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He can't just pretend that your sins are not. There has to be a means by which His justice is satisfied. Blood has to be shed. Prophet Moses says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But here's the thing, friends. God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And only He can take your sin away. Only He can wash you and make you clean. Again, the hymn writer, he asked the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you're not, you're still in your sin. Your heart is filthy, mucky, vile. You tell me that you're good persons. Well, tell me about your goodness. Tell me how many lies have you told. No liar shall ever enter my heaven, God says. Tell me how many things you've stolen, big or small, it doesn't matter. No thief shall ever enter my heaven. Tell me how many times you've lusted after the opposite sex. Jesus says you've already committed adultery in your heart. Nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. Listen to what God says about heaven. Don't just take my word for these things, friends. Read God's word. I'm not here to give you my opinions. Stand before you with an open Bible. This is God's word. Okay? But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Outside of the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood, lies. Yeah? Now, friends, your goodness, Jesus says only God is good. God says there are none righteous, no, not one. None who understands. Altogether become unprofitable. Got out of the way, there is none good. No, not one. You or me. None of us, friends. If you knew and understood the vileness of your heart, if you really, really, if God were to give you a glimpse of what's inside you, I tell you, friends, you would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ. Because nobody else, but nobody else, can wash you and make you clean and make you acceptable to God. Only through His blood sacrifice can you be washed and made clean and right with God. Justified freely by His blood. So you take your religions, you know, you take your Islam, yeah? You take your synagogues, you take your JWs that destroy not only the person of Jesus, but you see, subtract the message of the cross, the very heart of God's salvation. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of the Christian message. Oh, you won't hear it in your Christian churches. I say Christian with inverted commas. Oh, you'll hear a lot of singing. You'll hear a lot of music. They'll dance before you. They'll feed you. They'll do everything. But they won't tell you what kind of heart you've got. They won't tell you about the poison inside of you. They won't tell you about the repentance that you need. They won't tell you about the blood of the cross. Because they're frightened to death that you won't come back again. The blood of the cross, friends, is the only hope that you have. The cross that declares all men to be sinners. And that declares that no man can save himself, that there is only one way, and it's through that cross. No other way by which a man can be made right with God. The cross, the word of the cross, the message of the cross, a crucified and risen Redeemer. A Redeemer, God's Son, who conquered sin and death. That's why the Bible declares Him to be Lord. Muhammad's not Lord. Buddha's not Lord. Confucius isn't Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not a dead prophet you need. It's a living Savior you need. Who's alive from the dead and alive forevermore and can save the idolatrous religionist, the secularist, the humanist, the godless, who can save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. The uttermost of your sin, the uttermost of your depravity, the uttermost of your guilt and shame. Whatever you've been, whatever you've been doing, whatever the list, the catalogue of crime you've got against you, you just rolled out of jail. You keep doing the drugs, the booze, beating your wife, violating your fellow human beings. I tell you, friends, there is no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And at the cross where Jesus died, where the Son of God bled and died for sinners, He was speaking to the worst of men, the vilest of men. Men who were guilty of deicide, who crucified God. And what does He say to them? Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. Friends, can I suggest to you this afternoon, if such as they could be forgiven, and some of them were, if they could be made right with God, then what hinders you? One thing only, friends. One thing only. Your unbelief. Your unbelief. That's the capital crime. That's the one that will send you to hell. Listen up, friends. God will not send anybody to hell for not believing in the God that they did not know existed. But He will send people to hell for not believing in the God that they knew existed. And so do you know, friends. And it's time for you to stop suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, to come out of your self-deception, to come out of that suppression of the truth, and raise the white flag before God in surrender through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be washed and made clean. Save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him, but only through Him. Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No other name, says the Bible. No other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. The name of Jesus. You got it? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is His name. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Alive. Jesus Christ is Lord. And risen from the dead. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. You, me, Theresa May, President Obama, President Putin, every man, woman, and child ever born into this world will bow the knee and acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, friends. You got the opportunity to do it today and receive Him as your Lord and your Savior. But friends, you keep leaving it off. You keep postponing it. You keep on rejecting and rejecting to the end of your days, the end of your course on this planet. Then you will do it as your judge. Because here's the thing, friends. Jesus Christ is coming again. But He's not coming as a little bitty baby. He's not coming placed in a manger. He's coming in all His glory with His holy angels, taking vengeance upon all those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. So there's my question to you this afternoon, friends. Not asking you, are you religious? I'm asking, do you know God? Do you know Him intimately, relationally? Do you know Him through Jesus Christ, His Son? Do you know Jesus? Do you know eternal life in your soul? Do you know? Do you know Fred? Not know about him, do you know him? And have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel? Because only the gospel, friends, will bring the life of God into your soul. Only the gospel, only the good news about Jesus will bring the life and the love of God into your soul. Nothing else. No other one. No other way that a man or woman can come to God. God is so holy, you cannot come to Him yourself. You need a mediator. And the only mediator, the Bible says, between God and man is the man Christ Jesus, the one who one day is going to judge you in righteousness, because the day has been appointed. When that day is, I don't know. I don't know. But it's not revealed to us. God alone knows. But there's a day coming when the Son of God will step out of heaven into this world, seen again, and all men will stand before His judgment throne. And friends, that will be a fearful day. That will be a fearful day if He is not your Savior. I don't tell you these things to frighten you. Well, that it did frighten you, but I don't tell it to you for that reason, that purpose. I'm telling it to you because it's the truth. It's God's truth. And why you need to repent and believe the gospel. You see, friends, I don't tell you these things. I don't tell you about your heart condition. I don't tell you about that poison inside of you. Because I hate you, but because I love you. Because your neighbor and God commands me to love my neighbor. Well, you're my neighbor and your house is on fire. You are, sir?
Well said.
Thank you, sir. I tell you these things, friends, because your house is on fire and you're asleep. You're asleep in your house and you're oblivious to the matter. And my cry is to you, wake up. Wake up out of your slumber. Your sleep of death. Go to Jesus Christ and He will give you life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. But this is the crime, you see. I don't condemn you, friends. I don't have to condemn you. Jesus Himself said, I didn't come to condemn. I came to save. Jesus didn't have to condemn. I don't have to condemn. You're already condemned. You're under the condemnation of God. Why? Well, He says, because you have not believed in God's only Son. That's why. You see, this thing's not been done in a corner. It's known the world over, the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to rescue and to save the ungodly. Ah, friends. Friends, it's time you got to grips with it. It's time you started thinking about these issues, but maybe you say to me, you say, well, okay, I'll go home and think about this. But here's the thing, friends, what if you don't get home? Huh? What if you don't get home? Oh, you say, I'll think about it next week. I'll think about it when I'm a little bit older. What if you don't get to be a little bit older? What if God doesn't give you next week? What if today is all that you've got? Now is the time, says God. Now is the time, friends, to repent and believe the gospel. This is the accepted time. This is the day of God's favor, of His grace, where men and women are being reconciled to God. And that's the very reason why God sent His Son into the world, that through Him that the world might be reconciled to God. All the work has been done. Jesus has done it. It is finished, He cried. In triumph, it's done. Done deal. Oh, what have I got to do, you say? Nothing. There's nothing for you to do. Nothing that you can add to what Jesus and He has done. He's done it all, friends. Done it all. So you see, You see, friends, the offer of salvation is made to you today, but will it ever be made to you again? Will you ever hear the gospel again? Will you ever hear the overtures of God's love again? I don't know. I don't know. This might be a solemn thought, but it happens. This could be the very last time that God ever pleads with you. Isn't it an astonishing thing that God the Almighty should plead with you, a vile sinner? As surely as I live, says the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn. Turn, turn, turn. Why will you die when there's life, eternal life to be had in the Savior? For the want of repenting. Change of mind. Change of heart. Turn around. God's way, not your ways. Let the wicked forsake his way, his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Not forgiveness like yours or mine. Not a niggardly, miserable forgiveness, but an abundant pardon. A wiping of the slate and the heart clean. Yeah? That's God's forgiveness. Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, are they claiming evolution is a lie? How can you explain abnormalities within the human body, such as...
Say again, sorry.
How can you explain badly designed things within the human body, such as the eye being wired backwards and the... bits off the intestine, the appendix.
Okay.
How do you explain those in your perfect vision of God creating everything?
Well, the thing is, you see, that sin came into the world and you have all kinds of anomalies, you have all kinds of deformities, in the human race. But
he's a perfect designer. How could he design those deformities? Why?
He did design them perfectly, and he did create them perfectly. Man ruined God's creation by sinning, disobedience against God. That's what brought the whole mess.
The sinning would not wire the eye backwards, though, because the brain flips the image. The eye sends signals that are upside down.
Sin.
Why is that a thing?
Sin affects every single part of your being. Yeah, your vision, your speech, your mind, your thinking, your heart. Every single part of your being is, we are all, we talk about disabled people, and what we mean by that, we mean people in wheelchairs. Son, we're all disabled, every single one of us, by sin. Yeah? But here, tell me this. Okay, let me ask you a question, right? The heart and the lungs and the kidneys all operate together. They cannot operate independently. They all operate together, okay? You ask any medic, he will tell you, right? Just take my word for it for the moment, right? Okay? They cannot work independently. So tell me, which one evolved first?
Well, I'm not sure because I'm not a qualified evolutionist, but...
Okay, so what do you believe? What do you believe, sir? What do you believe? Tell me what you believe. What's your worldview?
Well, the... precursors to humans, say.
Say again?
The precursors to things that had hearts, say, would have still had some way of getting blood around the system. Perhaps a few squeezing muscle cells, perhaps.
Yeah.
A fully developed heart, but something
yeah, but,
on it.
Yeah, but tell me.
Simultaneously.
Okay. Okay, let's go back a bit. You got this knowledge about the heart, right? You know something about the heart, okay? Yeah? But tell me, where'd you get the knowledge from? Where does man get knowledge from?
Wikipedia.
that's an atrocious source. Anyway, let's say that Wikipedia is right, but where does Wikipedia get knowledge? Where does any man get any knowledge from? We live in according to the atheistic worldview, right? Okay, we live in a material, natural universe. No supernatural, no God, no designer. It's just a lump of mass material, okay? Yeah? So tell me, how out of that, tell me, where do you get knowledge? Where do you get science? Where do you get logic? Where do you get love? Where do you get any of these? Where do you get
knowledge from observing things? I mean, that's how science works.
But you're shooting away, you're going way ahead, you know, come back. Where does the knowledge to begin with? All you, according to the evolutionary theory, I don't like to call it a theory because it's not, it's a lie, but we'll call it that for your sake just now. But friends, here's the thing that according to evolution, all you are and I are, it's just a piece of chemical fizz. Okay? So how does a piece of chemical fizz do science, do logic? How does a piece of chemical fizz do anything? According to the atheistic worldview, right? I can give you Nietzsche, 100 years ago, German philosopher, or if you want up to date, Alex Rosenberg, United States of America, biologist, philosopher. Both of them agree, they say, that according to their own atheistic worldview, man cannot even have one single meaningful thought.
Just because two philosophers say that doesn't mean that it represents the whole atheistic worldview. I mean, Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins would refute that, definitely.
Well, they're being consistent, you see. They're being consistent. I never found a consistent atheist in all my times of preaching, of ministry. You see, they say, well, you know,
we don't have to be consistent.
You don't?
We don't have. Well, the definition of atheism is that just not belief in a God. It doesn't mean you have to believe in anything else or have
specific
views about anything. It's just the atheism.
Everybody believes in something. Everybody has a worldview of some kind, sir. You know, and so where does it come from? Like, I mean, take for instance, take the laws that we've got. You know, you can't do science. You can't do science. Evolution says we live in a changing universe, right? Okay, so let's say that that's so, right? Salt dissolved in water yesterday, salt dissolves in water today, will it dissolve in water tomorrow? No guarantee of that if you're an evolutionist. Another thing, you know, sun came up yesterday morning, came up this morning, but here, I'm an evolutionist, will it come up tomorrow morning? I've got no guarantee of that. But as with a Christian worldview, I do have a guarantee that these things will be the past, the future will be as the past, because God has placed, embedded into the universe that He created, He has embedded the laws of what we call the laws of nature. And we live in a universe that is not changing, but is stable. And that's why men are able to do science. That's why they're able to do logic. That's why we're able to do love. Because all these laws, these are not things that you can pick up and dump in the bin or take out again. These are, you know, abstract, is that the word, abstract laws, you know, that we all use every single day of our life. We use them continually, all the time, without even thinking about it. We use them, yeah? Answer me this. Where do these laws come from? Laws do not come from material, natural stuff. Laws come from an intelligent mind, and that intelligent mind is God.
You can see the benefit of it from an evolutionary viewpoint. That something like love is beneficial.
But where do you get it from? Justify it. Justify his existence. Okay.
Say your evolution basically says that, basically sex between man and woman is a good thing, because you get reproduction, therefore furthering DNA, and evolution continues. But love is quite a beneficial thing. If two people are drawn to each other, and make more kids.
So you
can see how this sort of stuff would be a benefit.
Yeah,
and you can see how it's evolved. I mean, something like logic, say, you've got the people who developed logic, basically. I mean,
But where did they get it from? What did they develop it from?
Well, thought, just ancient Greek times.
Where did they get the thought from? Alex Rosenberg says you can't have a meaningful thought. See, here's another thing. You see, I say to evolutionists come to me and they say, you know, I say to them, well, do you think it's wrong? Do you think it's wrong that a man should rape a woman? Oh, of course, that's terrible. I say, well, do you think it's wrong that one man should kill her? That's terrible. Of course, it's wrong. So there's a standard. Where do you get a standard from? Isn't that just survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say you believe?
Place to live, I take that,
you know,
that's fair enough.
You
want to
chuckle.
It's pretty awful. But you don't have to, but the laws of evolution don't have to be applied to things like society.
There are no laws in evolution. Evolution doesn't allow for laws. It's just all you've got is a material, natural universe. All you've got is just a lump of clay.
And also, the point about things like murder and rape being wrong. In a society, I mean, in tribes, say, in tribal people, you can see a clear benefit to not killing each other.
Yes.
So naturally, the tribe that killed each other would not have survived, and the tribe that, you know, existed harmoniously would have survived.
That's what God said,
exactly. They would have survived, the tribes that lived harmoniously. Therefore, the genetic stuff and the thought processes that created harmonious stuff survived, and you get things like what you call societal law.
But who's who declares? Who sets the standard? Who says what's right and what's wrong?
Society.
Okay, so was Adolf Hitler? He was society. He decreed that it was lawful to kill Jews. So was he right? Sorry. Well, there's two standards there. Which one's right and which one's wrong?
Well, the majority of society also thought he was completely wrong.
Yeah, well, because he was an evolutionist.
He's got quite a lot of links with the Catholic Church.
And an evolutionist, yeah. He was wrong on both feet. Nice talking to you, sir. Have a nice day, yeah? Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
My English is not so good, but it's just
okay.
A question which... You know, all the churches and all the big cathedrals are protected against thunders and lightning. Do you know that?
Sorry, say that again, please.
The churches, the big buildings,
yes.
Are protected against lightning and thunders. Why?
That's right, yeah.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
because lightning destroys buildings, I guess.
Yeah, that's true, but why would God strike in his own house?
And because sometimes it becomes so apostate, it has departed so far from the truth that God is angry, and God visits such establishments in wrath.
Why he would strike on his own house, his own people?
Well, Jesus, you've got an example. If I can give you an example from the Bible, you've got an occasion where in the Gospels where the Pharisees, that's the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they had so mutilated their own religion, they had so destroyed their own religion, they were so far from the truth. Jesus was angry with them.
Yeah.
He went into the temple one day and with whips. And he drove the money changers, and he drove the apostates out of it. This is my Father's house, he said.
Yeah.
It's not a house of merchandise. It's a house of prayer. But men and women, you see, they still do the same things today. Every building you see, it might be a glorious building.
No, I'm not saying about every building.
Yeah.
The churches.
Yeah. But whatever the building might be, yeah. If there is apostate religion going on there, I mean, God is long-suffering. Sometimes he leaves things go. And sometimes he visits in judgment.
And you think he will be stopped by a light?
But any means.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a million ways in which God can bring judgment. But take it.
Do you think man protection would be enough to stop God?
Never.
You see, so
let me. Well, it's a good question. I'm not deriding your question. But, I mean, let's bring it down to the individual. Two men. Okay? You got two men.
Yeah.
And God, they're both ungodly.
Yeah.
They're both unrighteous before God. Yeah, he causes one to hear the gospel again and again and again, and they live to a ripe old age and die and go to hell. Yeah, the other man, you know, is just the same in character. You know, but God, visits him early in judgment and hits him with lightning, with a truck or a bus, anything you like, and takes him out of this world earlier than the other one. God is sovereign. God does as he pleases in the kingdom of men.
That's right. Yeah, that's true, but I don't see how we can stop by putting a protection. It's just my opinion, when the churches start protected before, like...
What's your name?
Marius.
Yes. My name's Jimmy.
Nice to meet you.
Marius, here's the protection you need.
Yeah.
The gospel. Yeah?
No, I'm...
The blood, only the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, will protect you from lightning, from buses, from trouble.